From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 17, the Lord Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. This expression occurs four times in the New Testament. As Dr. Cairns will show, there are in Scripture at least seven actions ascribed to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. The first of these relates to the inspiration of the Bible, which is called the Word of Truth and the Scriptures of Truth. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will begin to address this most vital doctrine of the divine inspiration of the Bible, a doctrine which is under attack in our day, as it has been over the centuries. First of all, he takes a few minutes to speak about the wonderful subject of the pardon of sin, a blessed truth with which he deals more fully in his booklet called A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life.
The other day I was talking to a man who was telling me of how he had entrusted to his brother a particularly important job and had paid him well to do it, and he returned to find that the job was not done and it caused a great deal of trouble to the original brother. So he said to me, when I look back in it, I can never forgive him for that. I've talked to other people and they've thought of things that they have done in their own lives. In fact, I think of that particular brother who failed to do what he was supposed to do. Looking back in his life and looking back in some awful errors and false steps that he took and decisions that he made, he has lamented with tears that he could hardly forgive himself. How often people could say that. I'll never forgive myself for what I do. Now, the truth is that it's not your own forgiveness that you need, though obviously you have to deal with your past. It's not my forgiveness that you need. It's not the church's forgiveness that you need. Ultimately, it's the Lord's forgiveness that you need. Now, does God pardon sin? How can a holy God, an absolutely pure and holy, sinless God, ever come to terms with you or me in our sin? The Bible gives us the answer. The prophet Micah said, "Who is like unto thee? A God that pardons iniquity." This is the very keynote of the good news of God for men. God pardons sin. There is a way of pardon where God will say, "I forgive you." And when God says, "I forgive you," he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Notice, from east to west, not from north to south. There is a north pole and a south pole. There is a measurable distance between north and south. You travel north, you can only go so far, and you'll ultimately start traveling south. But if you go east, you can go east forever. You go west, you go west forever. There's no east pole or west pole. These are words, therefore, in the Bible that mean he is removing our sins from us forever, and he's removing them from us as far, if I could use a strange term, as one end of eternity is from another end of eternity. There is no meeting up again with the sins that God has pardoned. He says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions." So here is the glorious promise of the gospel. Now, if you confess your sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your sin, He says he's faithful. That means he'll keep his word. He is just. That means he has paid the price by the shedding of the blood of Christ. If you confess your sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Am I speaking to somebody today who's carrying a burden, a memory, something you cannot forget, something that dogs your steps every day, a black past, a vile or filthy secret, something that's crushing your conscience, makes you incapable of living and afraid of dying? Let me tell you, there is power in the precious blood of Christ to cleanse your conscience, to purify your soul, to bring you into a right relationship with God, and to give you peace in the knowledge of sins forgiven. Get to Christ, for he alone is able to pardon from sin.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
In our studies in the Holy Spirit, His person and work, we have reached what I can only call a pivotal point. In recent messages, if you have a good memory, you'll remember this. We have considered generally some very important biblical teaching on the person of the Holy Ghost. Then we have moved on and we have dealt with some very basic aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit as they apply to all believers. We have thought of His work in regeneration, in baptizing the believer into the body of Jesus Christ, in indwelling all the saints, in sanctification, the fruit of the Spirit, adoption, the earnest of our inheritance. Studies such as these, we have covered those basic areas of the Spirit's operation in each believer. But in every case, there is a very clear evidence in Scripture that the Spirit works these things in all believers. Sanctification may vary in its level, but nonetheless, in every believer, it is at a very appreciable level. Now, in the messages that are yet to come, and as I understand the subject of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, I would reckon we are about halfway through the studies. The Lord must dictate the number of times we come back to this, but in the messages to come, we will be looking some more at the person and work of the Holy Spirit, only this time in those particular aspects of the Spirit's work. In many cases, we will find that in the particular operation of the Holy Ghost upon believers, there are areas of study where we can say one Christian has been greatly blessed, has been greatly touched, and yet another Christian may seem to languish almost without the enjoyment of these peculiar exercises of the Spirit of God. For instance, when it comes, and this is only one instance, when it comes to the fullness of the Spirit, when it comes to the power of the Spirit, there are gravely varying degrees of experience among true Christians. When it comes, to take another example, to the witness of the Spirit, Protestant Christianity, and I believe that Bible Protestantism is Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity and Bible Protestantism have rightly emphasized the glorious truth of full assurance through the witness of the Spirit, but they have also wisely recognized that while this is a perfection in our faith, and a very desirable perfection in our faith, nonetheless, that full assurance is not of the very essence of faith. In other words, there are true believers who, for one reason or another, either at times or over a prolonged period, have labored under severe doubts. Now, it is the will of God that we come out of those doubts, and the witness of the Spirit is a very powerful means of bringing us out of those doubts. But again, we have to admit that there is a widely varying experience here among the people of God. So we're going to be looking in the studies which are to come mostly at those peculiar and particular aspects of the Spirit's work in which we as Christians may have varying degrees of experience and enjoyment. And so today we are at a pivotal point between the more general and the more particular aspects of the work of the Holy Ghost. And today's message will therefore in some way relate to all that has gone and all that is to come. We read this morning in John 14 and verse 17 a very wonderful title given to the Spirit of God. And while I mentioned it in a general study earlier on, I want us to think of it in some detail today. Verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. Four times in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is explicitly given this title. In our text, John 14 and 17. Then John 15:26, the Lord Jesus speaks, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, or into all the truth. Then over in 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error. Now today I want us to focus our attention upon the Spirit of Truth. And particularly, I want us to think, don't be put off by the number, but I want us to think of seven actions of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Dr. Paisley's always fond of pointing out that seven is the number of perfection. And of course, we're dealing with the perfect Spirit and we're dealing with the perfect truth. And we're going to look at his actions as the Spirit of Truth. Now, one of them is in the past, with ramifications that continue through the present. The others are all things that he's doing in the present. First of all, as the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost has produced the authentic, authoritative, and complete Word of God, written and preserved for the Church of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Truth. What a title of the Holy Spirit. But remember that Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, "Thy word is truth." What is the truth? Well, one basic answer is, this is the truth. And in a peculiar sense, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Scripture. In a peculiar sense, the Holy Spirit of God is identified with this book. I know that it is usual to speak about the inspiration of great poets and great playwrights and great artists. That is a total misuse of a theological term. I know that the word inspiration can be taken in a very elastic sense, and that's how it's used in this secular way, or in this semi-religious way. As to that which comes from some mysterious inner motivation, but theologically, inspiration is the very action whereby God breathes His Word so that in all its fullness and in all its exactness, the writers of Scripture produced it as if God Himself had written it with His finger upon the page. The inspiration of Scripture tells me that from Genesis to Revelation, in every part, in the history and in the prophecy, in the precept and in the doctrine, in every part of Scripture, the Holy Spirit has given us His very Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Scripture is termed the Word of Truth. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 35, the Scriptures are called the Scriptures of Truth. Why are they the Scriptures of Truth? Why must we as fundamentalists, let me even change that, why must we as Christians believe in the inspiration, the authority, the integrity, and the authenticity of this Bible? Because it is the product of the Spirit of Truth. And to deny the product of the Spirit of Truth is to deny the Spirit of Truth Himself. If God the Holy Spirit has made Himself responsible for the Holy Scriptures, and men find fault with the Scriptures, then they are finding fault with the Holy Spirit. They are taking what God says is truth and they are making it into a lie. The Holy Ghost authored this book. We read that clearly in Scripture after Scripture. I have dealt in the past with 2 Peter 1 verse 21, dealing with the entire prophetic Scriptures of the Old Testament. And if you study your New Testament carefully, you'll find, and your Old Testament, of course, you'll find that the entire Old Testament is looked upon as prophecy in the biblical sense. And we find that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as they were borne along in a totally supernatural way. So many people make the mistake of trying to explain inspiration, and they have all the kinds of theories. Among conservatives, there is a great fear of a mechanical view of inspiration that would make the writers to be only typewriters and God hammered out on the keys. I don't think the scripture says that, but I can say this, that it is a supernatural action. Yes, in the writings of Paul, I find that there are peculiar characteristics of Paul that come through in the writing. But nonetheless, God is responsible for every word. That's inspiration.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.